So good to have you here with us again. My name is Heath. Welcome to Level 13. I want to say a special welcome to those of you joining us online this morning. We're glad that every one of you are here with us today, and those who are watching online as well, for the week number 5 in our series, God Never Said That. Now, if you've missed weeks 1 through 4 or any of those weeks, I want to encourage you to go to level13church.com. You can click on the message icon, and you can actually watch live video of the sermons from the past 4 weeks, or you can listen to audio, whichever is easiest for you to do that. But this morning, we're going to end things up with this particular series. And this whole concept has been, we want to look at some cultural beliefs, some ideas, some things that the world seems to throw out there and give God credit for. But at the end of the day, what we've discovered is God actually never said those things at all. Week 1, we talked about this idea that God wants us happy above all else. Week 2, we looked at this belief system that God will never give you more than you can handle. In our 3rd week, we addressed this cultural belief that it doesn't matter what I do as long as I'm not hurting anyone else. And then last week, we dove into an idea that it doesn't matter what I believe as long as I'm sincere. And over the course of those 4 weeks, we discovered God never said any of those things. Week 1, we understood that God said his highest priority for us isn't happiness, it's holiness. In week number 2, we discovered that oftentimes God will allow us to be overwhelmed to remind us that we need him. He'll let us experience more than we could handle to remind us that we need to look up to him and recognize we need his help. Week number 3, what we discovered was we can't privatize our sin because we're all connected. I can't say that I have this secret sin, this hidden sin that isn't affecting anybody else. Nobody else knows about it. I'm just doing it over here by myself, and it's not hurting anyone, because that isn't true. We're all connected. Every single one of us are connected, and when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And then last week, what we discovered was it doesn't matter how sincere we are if our belief isn't in the truth. Sincerity isn't what connects us to God. Jesus and Jesus alone connects us to God. So this morning, we're going to look at our final cultural belief that we're going to address in this series. But before we do that, I need to ask everyone to help me with something. So in the room this morning, and even those of you who are watching us online, I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to look to everyone to your left. Look immediately to your left. Then look to your right. Look behind you. And then look in front of you. All right, awesome. Now here's what I need everybody to do. Those people that you just looked at, out of those 4 or 5 people, however many people you looked at, when I count to 3, I want you to point to the person that you believe is the biggest sinner. 1, 2, 3. All right, so that's awesome. We had some people pointing fingers. I hope you're not riding home with one another. But what's even better than that is I saw several people point to themselves. And you know what? I can appreciate an honest sinner. At least they were owning it. Like, you know what? I'm the biggest sinner in the room. It's me. So that feels kind of awkward, doesn't it? Calling somebody out and saying, hey, you know, you're a big sinner. There's something about that that's just cringeworthy. We push back against that. And gosh, we don't like the way that feels. In the world that you and I live in, tolerance, we said last week, is one of the overlying, overarching ideologies, tolerance. And we don't want to judge anyone. We don't want to condemn anyone as a sinner because, man, we've got to just be tolerant of each other. In the day that Jesus lived, in the day that he walked, one of the greatest cultural values of the day was justice. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In the world that you and I live in today, we could say one of the greatest cultural values is tolerance. And that definition of the word tolerance has kind of shifted, it's morphed over the last 20, 30, 40 years. When it was first introduced into our vocabulary and our vernacular, this concept of tolerance meant that all people have equal value. But today, the belief system is that all beliefs and ideas have equal value. We've shifted from thinking people have equal value to all beliefs and all ideals have equal value. And so the Bible actually talks about an unpardonable sin. I would go so far as to say that the cultural unpardonable sin of the day is to call somebody a sinner. Man, what are you thinking? You're supposed to tolerate it? You can't do that. That's the unpardonable cultural sin. You can't call me a sinner. You need to be tolerant of everything. Or maybe we could say it this way. Hey, man, don't judge me. Don't judge me. And in the words of the great theologian Tupac Shakur, only God can judge me. So you don't need to. Just step back. Don't judge me. I love the way that Andy Stanley, one of my favorite communicators, he couches this whole concept, this idea. Here's what he says about this idea of not judging. He says, "Thou shalt not size me up and write me off. Thou shalt not size me up and write me off." Or another way maybe we could say it is, "Thou shalt not make a decision about me based on who I'm with, where I've been, my choices in life, the people that I hang with, my past. Thou shalt not compare me to anybody else and then write me off as a lost cause sinner." Don't judge me. And if we're honest, there's something that feels good about that, right? Because really and truly, none of us want to be judged. It isn't even so much that we have a problem with judging. We're okay if you get judged. Just don't judge me. Like, I'm perfectly fine if you're judged, but don't judge me at all. You know, I read some statistics and some articles that said quite possibly the greatest and the most quoted passage of Scripture from the Bible is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Any guess at what it says? "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." The greatest, most quoted passage of Scripture. It actually has overtaken John 3:16. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Even people who are not followers of Jesus know that this is in the Bible. And they use it as a tool. Like, hey, that Jesus that you follow, he says not to judge. Okay, where is it at? Who said it? Well, I don't know all of that, but I know it's there. I may not know, may not be able to tell you who said it. I may not be able to tell you where it's located, but I know it's there. And Matthew 7:1 is kind of our escape clause too, isn't it? It's kind of our escape clause. Like, we're good with that. I don't want to be judged. But what if Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, what if this idea of "do not judge or you too will be judged," what if there's more to the story? What if that's not the end game? What if, in fact, that's not even what Jesus was talking about at all? What if instead Jesus was teaching that not only are we supposed to judge, but it's a calling and it's a commandment for us? Well, if we're going to discover that, if that's going to be true, we need to dive a little bit deeper into Matthew chapter 7. So if you've got a Bible or an app on your phone, I want to encourage you to flip open or open up to Matthew 7. We'll have it on the screen as well as we move forward. And we're going to learn exactly what it is that Jesus has to say about this whole cultural belief that we're not supposed to judge. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. We've got it already on the screen for you. We've already mentioned it. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." That sounds pretty simple. Like, there's not a whole lot of deciphering that we need to do there, right? We can just take that at point blank face value. That's what Jesus said. "Pastor Heath, you're wrong on your whole God never said that thing. We've got it written in red. Jesus said that. So we can end and go home early today." Well, what's dangerous for us is that oftentimes we want to put a hard stop when Jesus wants to continue the conversation. We'll put a period and we'll say, "Okay, I got that. I understand it. Let's move on." We'll skip down and look for the next heading so I can learn what's next, when Jesus has more to say about this one particular conversation. So let's keep reading. Verse 2 says this: "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Again, that sounds pretty easy to understand. That validates our belief that we're not supposed to judge. That's validation. That's that we're headed in the right direction. Still good. Thumbs up. Don't judge me. I don't want to be judged. Don't judge me. This sounds perfect. Let's keep going. Verse 3. Why did you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Now, Jesus here, he kind of begins to shift the focus just a little bit. He says, I recognize there's something visibly wrong there. You can tell there's something broken. There's something messed up. There's something jacked up in this scenario. I know it's there, but why are you looking at it? Don't judge, or you're going to be judged. It's going to come back on your head. And why are you even looking in somebody else's life in the first place? It's almost as if Jesus is saying, hey, look at yourself. Chill out. This is, don't focus on judging anybody else. Let's keep reading in verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How interesting that we would miss that part. How interesting that we would skip over that last little nugget there. I think there are two reasons potentially that we would miss that. Why are you looking for a speck in somebody else's eye, not seeing the log or the beam that's coming out of your own eye? I think the first reason could be, well, Jesus, I just didn't know anything was wrong with me. I mean, I thought that you and I were so close and I had such a great relationship with you that there possibly couldn't be anything going wrong in my life. I had no idea. Well, that's possible. Highly unlikely, I'm going to say. Second reason, however, is, man, it sure is a lot more fun to look at what's wrong in your life than it is to own what's wrong in mine. You know? Makes me feel a lot better when I can see how broken and jacked up you are. But when I have to look in the mirror and examine my own heart and my own life and see how broken and jacked up I am, man, I don't like that. That's difficult. That hurts. That's hard. So it's easy for me to skip over that. But Jesus is calling us not just to look at what's wrong in somebody else's life, but to recognize in our lives what's messed up. Why? What's the purpose? What's his reason behind that? Let's keep reading. Verse 4. He says this, how can you say to your brother, let me get the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is this plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. And there we get the teaching. There's what Jesus wanted to say from the beginning. You hypocrite. That's harsh language. And yet Jesus calls people hypocrites who do this. And he said, this idea of a hypocrite is defined as someone who cares more about somebody else's life than they care about their own. Essentially, what Jesus is trying to teach us in this particular passage of Scripture, mind your own business. Just mind your own business. Except that's not what he's saying. See, we like to put an exclamation point after hypocrite. We like to put another hard stop in the ground and say, okay, I got it. No judging. But Jesus actually puts a comma after hypocrite. And it's from that comma moving forward where the real teaching begins. Up until that point, he's building a foundation. He's laying the groundwork. He says, guys, I want to explain this scenario. I want to lay this scenario out for you. And from that comma moving forward, this is where the truth comes in. This is where the teaching is going to start. So what does he say? Let's pull up verse 5 and see. You hypocrite, first, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus' teaching all along wasn't to tell us don't judge. His instruction to us was to judge yourself first. Take care of the issue in your own life. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing to you and clean out that junk that's sticking out of your eye, that's obvious to anyone that looks around, but you've been neglecting, you've been blind to. Don't try to clean out somebody else's life and bring healing to somebody else until you deal with what's in your own life first. But he doesn't want us just to remove the plank from our eye for our own benefit. Here's something we have to understand. Following Jesus never stops with what's in it for me. Following Jesus never stops with what's in it for me. Salvation is awesome for me, but it's not just about me. He offers salvation to me so that I can go and tell the world that there is a God in heaven who loves them and wants to save them. He doesn't want me to remove this plank from my eye so that I can see clearly. He wants us to remove the plank from our eye so we can see clearly to be a help to someone else. This whole concept of don't judge me or mind your own business, God never said that. Because minding my own business does nothing for the person whose business needs minding. If I mind my own business, it doesn't help someone who has an issue in their life and their business needs to be minded. Jesus, as he traveled around, was followed by a group of religious leaders. Everywhere he went, they tried to trap him and trick him. They tried to catch him to say something that they could arrest him for, something that they could end this movement. And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, Jesus is asked a question. In verse 36, one of the leaders of religious law asks him, "What's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment out of all the law, out of all of the prophets, everything in our Jewish scriptures, what's the greatest command?" And Jesus' response in Matthew 22, 37, "What's the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength." Verse 38, he makes this statement. He says, and the second, you know, that's the greatest commandment. Verse 39, he says, and the second is equally as important. He didn't say worshiping God and loving God is here and everything else falls underneath. He said, no, these two are on the equal playing field. Loving God. And then the second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in verse 40, he drops this bomb. He says, all of the law, all of the prophets, all of the Jewish scripture hinge upon, are focused on, are rooted in, are fulfilled in these two statements. Love God and love people. Everything that's written beforehand, everything that's in the Jewish scriptures, they hinge on these two things. And if we're going to love God properly, we're going to love people properly, we've got to be invested in their lives. We've got to be invested in relationship. We've got to be invested and willing to have a hard conversation. Once the Spirit of God has healed us and helped us remove that log that's in our own eye, then we've got to be invested enough to have that difficult conversation, the one we've been putting off, the one we've been ignoring because maybe somebody else will have that conversation or maybe they'll just figure it out. Maybe God will convict them on their own. We've got to have that difficult conversation. Here are two scenarios where that command from God to remove the plank from our own eye so that we can get the speck out of somebody else's eye, there are two scenarios where it doesn't fit. That doesn't work. We're not called by God. We're not given authority or the right from Jesus to judge those who are not followers of Jesus. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, has something really powerful to say. Look what he says. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders. That's his language for people who are not part of the faith, people who are not following Jesus. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders. But it certainly is your responsibility to judge those who are sinning inside the church. God will judge those on the outside. See, this isn't a free pass for us to look at people who are living a life filled with sin and just point them fingers of condemnation and say, you shouldn't do that. You know better than that. No, what are we supposed to do with people who are outside the faith? We're supposed to love God and we're supposed to love people. And it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Can I get somebody to understand what's saying there? It is the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It isn't the condemnation of God that leads people to repentance. We love God and we love people who are on the outside. But we're called to judge those inside the church. Second area where it doesn't fit. This isn't supposed to give us freedom to just walk through the doors of the church and just start pointing out sin at people as we walk by. Like, hey, man, you're a sinner. You're going to hell. You're doing things wrong. You know, that's not freedom for us to do that. This is supposed to take place in the context of community. Look at the language Jesus used. He didn't say just anybody. He says when you see a brother. Some translations say friend. See, it's in the context of community. It's in the context of relationship that we have those hard conversations. It's in the context of, man, we're doing life together. I'm not just seeing you at a thousand miles away. I'm seeing you across the table. You know, I'm sitting down. We're having a cup of coffee. We're having lunch together. You're in my home. You have refrigerator rights in my house. You can come in my house and open the refrigerator and get whatever you want out. That's kind of a relationship. In the context of that type of a relationship, you know what? Man, I've noticed some things that concern me a little bit. Can we talk about that? I'm not coming at you trying to judge you. I'm not coming at you trying to condemn you. I'm coming alongside of you because I want to see you healed. I've experienced the healing of the power of God in my life. And I want to see healing take place in your life. Let's walk through this together. Let's do life together and see life change happen. So we're not to judge outsiders. And we're not just to walk into the church and start calling people out. Or heaven forbid, let's not get on social media and call out other Christians. Let's have a relationship with somebody. And in the context of that relationship, and then let's work towards it after the Spirit of God has healed us first. First, take care of the plank in my own eye. And then I can see clearly. I can see clearly to remove the speck from somebody else's. We could say this: love forbids me to write you off, to size you up and write you off. But love also forbids me to size you up and to walk away. Instead, love commands me to get involved. Love compels me to be invested. Love draws me because of what's happened in my life to pour into yours. This idea of God says, don't judge. That sounds good, but he never said that. He said the opposite. In my life, I've had some people who have confronted me like this. And I'll be honest. When it first happened, I was offended. I was offended. It's like, who do you think you are coming at me like this? I mean, please. And I might have quoted Tupac, I don't know. But when I took a step back and I was objective and I asked myself this question, is there any truth to what they're saying? Is there anything true to what was being said? And I realized that there was. Man, I was thankful. So appreciative that somebody loved me enough that they were willing to have a hard conversation with me. When the easy thing to do would have just been to walk away and pay no attention and mind their own business. But minding their own business did nothing for my business that needed minding. But then they spoke life into me, and they didn't just come at me with condemnation and say, man, get your stuff together. They said, no, let's walk together and let's get healed together. because we're in this for the long haul, man, and I've got you. I am with you. Don't judge me. Tolerate all beliefs, all ideas. They all have equal value. Mind your own business. God never said any of those things. God said, judge yourself first so that you're prepared. Inside the context of biblical community to pour into someone else. Because like we said, following Jesus never stops with what's in it for me. It's a command to go forward. And so this morning, I think maybe we have three questions that we need to wrestle to the ground. First, is there a plank in our eye? Is there something going on in our world that we haven't owned, that we haven't allowed the Spirit of God to heal? We need His presence to remove that thing. We need to invite Him to search every part of our hearts and to be open and willing to hear what He has to say. Second thing that we need to wrestle to the ground is, once that thing is gone, is there a hard conversation we need to have with somebody? Is there someone in our world, someone in our life that we're doing life with, we're in community, we're in relationship with, is there someone that I need to have a hard conversation with that I've been putting off and avoiding for a long time, hoping somebody else would do it? Love compels me. Love commands me not to size you up and leave you as you are. I can't walk away. I've got to get involved and invested. And then the third question that we've got to wrestle to the ground this morning is, maybe there's someone in the room. Maybe someone's tried to come to you. Have that hard conversation. And like me, you get offended. Like, who do you think you are? Telling me what I need to do and how I need to live. I mean, come on, now step back. I got this. Maybe we need to recognize and own the fact that there could be something there. And that there's somebody that loves me enough that they're willing to have that hard conversation. Even the conversation that I don't want to hear. They love me so much that they're willing to lose a relationship to share that conversation. Man, that's tough. Does Jesus really call us to do that? I believe he does. Because following Jesus never stops at what's in it for me. It includes everyone around me. Father, it's so easy to believe certain things. It's so easy to think that you don't want us to judge. You just want us to love everybody and tolerate everything. But God, you didn't call us to that. You called us in the context of biblical community. Once the Spirit of God has healed us and has removed that thing in our lives, God, to see clearly enough to remove the speck from someone else's. Father, in this room, we're all on different journeys. We're all at different places in our walk with you. Would you speak to our hearts, God, and would you start with me? God, if there's anything in my life, if there's a plank in my eye that I've ignored, would you reveal it to me? Father, if there's a hard conversation that I have not had with someone, would you reveal it to me? And if there's something in my life that I have been offended about, that someone came to me in love and shared something with me in love, and I've pushed back away from it, God, would you reveal that to me as well? Would you heal my heart? Father, that's my prayer for everyone in this room this morning, that you would search our hearts, Spirit of God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, to recognize what you want to do in and through us. God, as we spend just a few moments, as this song is played, God, I pray if there is one in this room who needs to meet you, God, I pray that this moment would be the moment that your grace becomes irresistible, that the drawing of your Spirit grabs their heart. Father, I pray healing in Jesus' name. As this last song is played, if you need prayer for anything, or you just want to connect with God, I want to invite you to come. You can pray at your seat, find someone to pray with you there. That's perfectly cool and fine. I want to invite you to come. I would love to pray with you. We've got a team here who would love to pray with you. The Spirit of God's in this place, and He wants to do a work. It's up to us to surrender to the work that He wants to do. Father, would you do what only you can in this moment in Jesus' name?